Radio Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I, Rob Pritchard, and the team are here with you for the next half hour to take a look at the latest sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond this weekend, coming up tonight. The second weekend and game day 3 of the 25-26 Isle of Man football season beckons tomorrow. And elsewhere, hoping to lift themselves off the bottom of the end of the CFL Premier Division this weekend, FC Isle of Man face a tricky task at Infor Burscough tomorrow afternoon. The new Isle of Man rugby season starts this weekend with three Manx sides kicking off their league campaigns on Saturday. And after nearly 9 months out the ring, Isle of Man pro boxer Jade Burden returns. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Let's dive straight into what is going to be another busy weekend coming up when it comes to Isle of Man sporting action, both here on Manx shores and further afield. And we'll start with the Isle of Man football scene. Well, the new 25-26 campaign kicked off in earnest last weekend, and after a spate of midweek fixtures on Tuesday and Wednesday this week, we're looking at another full programme of matches this coming Saturday. Game day 3 coming up. So to go through everything as usual with us is our football correspondent, Tony Meffin. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob, and weather's looking good. We had a little bit of wet stuff midweek, but I think that will help soften the pitches up. They're really hard at the moment. I feel sorry for some players with blisters, and they're going to have to play tomorrow.
Well, you say that, but looking at the weather that's coming in on Sunday, I'm sure they'd welcome that weather back at some point.
Yeah, it's needed because there's a lot of the pitches are sort of brown. The fertiliser's in, but it hasn't sort of developed because not enough rain. So, we'd like a bit of the wet stuff just to soften the pitches up and make it play a little bit easier.
Well, let's take a look then at the fixtures coming up this weekend. So we're all fixtures bar one kicking off at 2:30 p.m. across the divisions on Saturday. We'll start with the Canadive Men's Premier League. And first of all, taking a look at one of the three teams, Tony, that's still maintain a perfect start to the season at this very early stage, 2 wins from 2. Corinthians coming up against a Foxdale team for whom it's been quite a tough start.
Yeah, it's been a tough start, and I think the problem for Foxdale is they've lost three first-team players, haven't they? Andy Ball and Goal's gone. Jason Charmer has gone to Peel, and Lee Gale has also gone. And when you're losing that sort of strike force, those two players, it's always going to be tough for you. But reverse for Corinthians, because they've got all the sort of top players back in there now, because Sean Doyle, Luke Murray both got a hat-trick each midweek, and that was Sean's first game back in this season. He didn't play in the first one. Didn't take him long, and as you would expect, the height of the guys, most of them were headers, but it's great to see Luke Murray back in there, because we all know he's sort of had an illness, and he's playing away and he's looking pretty good, and that's what we want. But when you look at other players who have come in, Ashley Higginbottom and also Morgan Naylor looking very strong, and Dan Simpson on that left hand side, I can only see Corinthians winning.
And over at Gary Moore tomorrow, Union Mills, who will have had a whole week's rest. They didn't have a midweek game this week, coming up against a Braddon side that lost 8-3 to the aforementioned Corinthians on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and I think if people look at the league table and say, well, Braddon, Foxdale, Old Boys are probably looking like the three, I'm going to give you a bold decision that I've made from the other night's performance, is that Braddon won't go down. I think they're good enough, Rob, I really do, because the young players that are in there, and you know, when you look at sort of experienced players, Mark O'Neill scored 2 fantastic goals against Corinthians, but Union Mills, Ryan Kelly also lost 1 or 2 players. Jack Murray's left Union Mills, so that'll make it a little bit harder in front of goal, but I think Union Mills might just edge it. If not, it'll go a draw.
The early kickoff tomorrow is a 1:45 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl. Sees St Mary's up against Onchan.
Yeah, and thank you for sending me to this one, because 1:45 kickoff, it'll give us a bit more time to come back and compile the results. But, you know, Onchan midweek played really well, and it's a question of just getting sort of players used to how they want to play. So James O'Kelly will be looking to sort that one out. But St Mary's, when you look at the players that they got available, I noticed midweek, Rob, Jack McVeigh was substitute, so he's probably just coming back in, and no Frank Jones, so whether he will play as well, but we'll wait and see what the squad news is. But I think St Mary's, and definitely at the Bowl, will be too strong for Onchan.
Yeah, Onchan 2-2 draw at home to St John's United on Tuesday night, and on the same evening, St Mary's in a 3-2 defeat away at Laxey. And speaking of Laxey, they've got a trip to Ramsey on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think Johnny Palmer will be chuffed to bits with the start of Laxey this season. 2 wins, 2 good performances. I watched them last week, and You know, they were pretty steady in the end against St John's, and when you've got sort of experienced people like Cameron Avery and others in there, then it does help matters when you're defending and also attacking as well. But Ramsey, hopefully they've got some of their star players back in there, because last week, I can't remember most of the names now, but certainly Dylan Pickles was one of them, missing a lot of first team players, and if they've got them back in there, then it might just make them a lot stronger. But I'm going to go for Laxey just to pip it, but with home advantage, Ramsey will be trying to get something out of it.
Then up in the North, the Island at Andrews playing fields, Ayr United, who held the defending champions Peel to an entertaining 3-3 draw in midweek up against Douglas High School Old Boys. Tony, a tough couple of fixtures for them to start with after coming up from Division 2. 2-0 defeat to Ramsey in midweek. Do you think Old Boys may have taken some positivity from that, that they kept it competitive with Ramsey?
Yeah, I've heard that Old Boys' performance midweek was pretty strong, to be fair. It's just getting used, I think, to the pace of the game. I think that's what's catching them out. Fitness-wise as well, I think... you know, they know they've got to be a lot fitter, so they'll work on that as the sort of season goes on. But I think Ayr United have had a pretty steady start, and that result against Peel just shows, even though they've lost one or two players, they're in the mix still. And when Sean Kelly's back in there, I don't think Johnny Shields has played this year, but also Chris Duggan put a good performance in midweek, then Ayr United, I think, will be too strong for Douglas High School Old Boys.
And the final game in the Candlelight Fens Premier League this weekend is what some call the Old Firm. It's Rushen United, who, another of the three teams who have two wins from two so far, up against the defending champions Peel.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this, over the years, Rob, when I've watched Rushen against Peel, when you see that yellow and black and then the red and white, it is... quite a fantastic sort of colour scheme to see, because they're both vertical stripes, but two very good teams. You know, Peel, they'll be disappointed dropping those points against Peel, but you can't knock what, you know, Thomas Brown's doing. You know, four goals in the first one, two in the second one. He's absolutely flying. But Rushen have got some good players back in there. I noticed Mikey Williams coming back to fitness for, I would think, FC Isle of Man, but he's doing it for Rushen at the moment. And Rushen defensively will look relatively strong as well. Be going a tough game for Rushen, I think, but Peel just have the strength to win it.
Now, just before we get into the fixtures in our Dun & Drugan Limited Division 2, and Tony, you alluded to something that was in the pipeline potentially last weekend on Saturday Sport Classified. There has been an update with how Division 2 will pan out this season. Just very quickly, for those who don't know what the development's been, could you just tell us what that is?
Certainly can. In Dun & Drugan, Douglas Athletic let us know at least 2 weeks before the start of the season that they were struggling. They wanted to go into the Combination League. The clubs were asked probably about a month ago, what's the advice to league management? What do you want them to do if they've got a team that only wants to play with a combination side? And they said, you've got to weigh up the pros and cons and you know, make a decision now. I'll defend the league management committee, because over the last sort of 8 to 10 years, when they've had to make this tough, you know, thing of letting a combination side play, they've got it right, because clubs have come back and rebuild. But anyway, I think it was on the Thursday night before the start of the season, Michael indicated they had an issue, and Jim's did as well. So they said they all wanted to play one side only. So the way it's worked out is that the fixtures were a little bit light in Division 2, so now they will play each other three times. And the way we're working out who gets home advantage on that third set of fixtures is the first 13 fixtures that were scheduled, they will stand as the third set of fixtures, and we'll stay by it, and hopefully it works out.
Okay, Tony, thank you very much for that. And let's take a look then at the four fixtures taking place this weekend in Our Dun & Drugan Limited Division 2. Maloo will host Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. St George's are at home to Moround. Castletown, one of only two teams to have won both of their opening two games, along with Paul Rose United, who aren't in action this weekend. Castletown, they're at home to Douglas Royal, and Colby hosts Douglas and District.
Yeah, and I think when you look at sort of the first one there, Maloo against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, well done to Maloo for getting sort of two teams out. But Ramsey Youth Centre, I think I'll fancy their chances to get promoted this year, Rob. They just missed out last year. And when you look at the league table at the moment, Castan and Paul Rose, you wouldn't have predicted those two to be up there. But Maloo, it's just a question of just see how they get on, but go for Ramsey Youth Centre. St George's against Moran. St George's, good training numbers midweek. I had a look at that, but Moran still haven't played. So a bit of a frustrating time for them. Castletown against Douglas Royal already. You're looking at games that could have bearing of where the league title is going to go at the end of the season. But Douglas Royal did lose to Pulley, as where Castletown have had two good wins. And Colby against Douglas and District. Douglas and District struggling to score goals. Colby in good form. I'm going to go for Colby to win that.
And just very quickly, Tony, look through the combination leagues. We have six games penned in for Canada Life Combination 1.
Yeah. Foxdale against Corinthians, I'll go with Corinthians, they're looking pretty strong. Braddon against Union Mills, I'll go with Braddon. Onken against St Mary's should be a close affair. I'm going to go for Onken just maybe to sneak it. Laxey against Ramsey. Ramsey always do well in combination one, and I think they'll beat Laxey. Douglas High School Old Boys against Ayr, I'll go with Ayr United. And Peel against Rushen. Rushen already showing good form, but Peel are very strong as well, so that should be a great game, but I'll go just the advantage to Rushen.
And rounding things out for Saturday, we've got six games as well in our Dern and Drug Unlimited combination too.
Yeah, a tweak with one of them. It's a surprise one, this one. It came in yesterday. Governors Athletic are going to be playing their home games at the moment at St Ninian's School, the upper school. So it's at top of Bray Hill there. And they play against Jim's. This one's kicking off tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So Jim's have been informed, the referee's been informed. So in that game, I'm going to go for Governors Athletic to win. Ramsey U Centre and Old Boys against Maloo, go with Ramsey U Centre and Old Boys. Moran against St George's, Moran to take victory. Michael United against Paul Rose, Paul Rose top of the table to take the 3 points. Douglas Royal against Castletown, go with Royal. And Douglas and District against Colby. Tough weekend last week for Douglas and District. Tough week midweek, but I think Colby will prove too strong.
Tony, thank you just for the moment. Well, moving on, and FC Isle of Man are back on their travels this weekend, hoping to lift themselves off the bottom of the NWCFL Premier Division table. The Ravens are on the road at Burscough tomorrow, with the Manxside's hosts having only lost one of their opening seven league contests in a strong start to the campaign. Well, FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones is expecting a challenging task this weekend, but insists there's a positive atmosphere at the club, despite the poor start they've had.
It's going to be difficult for no other reason than I'm having to make five or six changes to the starting 11 for reasons outside of my control. So we really are calling on lots of players at the moment, which doesn't help to build consistency and build performances over time, but it is part of the challenge of FC Isle of Man, and we seem to be going through that challenge kind of more so than we ever have in recent weeks. So yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, hopefully the players that will have to step into the team and the squads have seen what we did on Saturday. You know, we're going to keep going in that direction, I hope, which is being on the floor and trying to take control of the game as much as we possibly can and play some good football. And we've got a few players back from holidays, and so that the squad will be quite a different squad to the one that played against, or was part of the game against Paddy. And I don't think Danny Gerrard's going to be fit. We've got a few other people who aren't available through work commitments, and Callum Sherry suspended for 2 games now. So yeah, it's going to be hard, but we think we've got more than enough in the group to go and push on again.
What's the mood been like in the squad over the last couple of weeks? Because of course, sitting at the bottom of the table at the moment, what's the general feeling been like with results wise? What's been a difficult start to the season?
Really good. And you know, people may or may not believe that, but we, no matter where you are in the table, you still need to work in the right way. And that hasn't changed. And it's really a compliment to the group, to be honest. The mindset and the positivity and the willingness to work hard for each other, you know, is there. There's a really good atmosphere. We know where we are, and we know the things that we're needing to work on. And we also have, you know, a lot of good players in the group who just need maybe a little bit of time and support and patience. So clearly we're frustrated. We've not got more points on the board, but we also have a real strong belief that will come if we keep going in the same direction.
That's FC Alamo manager Paul Jones there, ahead of his NWCFL Premier Division tie against Burscough tomorrow. Kickoff at the Community Ground tomorrow in the NWCFL Premier Division between Burscough and FC Isle of Man is at 3 p.m.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, along with the football season coming to life in the last 7 days, this weekend sees the curtain raiser to the new Isle of Man rugby season. 3 Isle of Man teams in action across their respective leagues. Douglas gets back underway in Regional 2 Northwest, and both Vagabonds and Ramsey, the latter of those making their return to the English Club Championship system for the first time in 5 years, they are both taking part in County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire this season. And, well, who else better to take us through the start of the latest rugby campaign but our correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
Well, before we actually get to the rugby side of things, of course, people will have heard your dulcet tones out at Glen Helen during Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. How was it?
Awesome. Always enjoy the motorcycle racing calendar. And Manx Grand Prix in particular was brilliant this year. Obviously, the weather then conspired against events. That can't be helped. These things happen. And obviously, the organisers did what they could, but clearly, cancellation of the, the big race in the Classic TT wasn't on the schedule, but these things happen. You've got to move on. It's not the first time it happened. It won't be the last either. So moving onwards and upwards, and it's always great to get out there and out to a couple of pubs in Ramsey. You meet the supporters. It's great banter in the bars, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else did as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn our attention to rugby matters then, because yes, an important weekend, the start of the 25-26 campaign for three sides. We'll start with Douglas, who had a best finish in Regional 2 North West last season of sixth place, and they'll be on home turf this weekend to start things off at Portishead, coming up against one of the newcomers to the division, North Ribblesdale.
Yeah, North Rib, awesome to see them coming across. They're kind of in no man's land between Yorkshire and Cumbria, and Settle is actually the town they're based in. I think I've heard of that in a railway context. They've been asked to level across to the western side rather than the eastern. Fair play to them. They seem excited by the prospect of it. And they were in Counties 1 Yorkshire, which is Counties 1 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire equivalent. They were promoted. They won their league. 22 wins out of 22 matches, and 19 of them with a bonus point. So they were clearly the form team. They won it clean by 10 points in the end. And they're going to provide stiff opposition, I would think, as a team that good moving up. Yes, it's a big jump for them, but I don't think they're going to be that far away, particularly if they've kept some of their players over the summer period as well.
And from Douglas's side of things, a couple of changes to the squad coming into this season.
Yeah, Giard Vasagi was a big player for them last year in at hooker. He played most of their league matches, apart from, I think he missed maybe one or two with injury. But aside from that, he was a consistent performer for them and was great with the ball in hand, helped them anchor the scrum. He's going to be replaced at hooker tomorrow with Josh Campbell, the son of former prop Ben Campbell, and of course the brother of Malin, who's setting the world on fire up at Vagabond. So proper rugby pedigree from Josh. Fingers crossed that it all goes well for him on debut. There's a couple of changes out the back line as well, but we won't dwell on them too much. We'll be covering the game for Saturday Live tomorrow. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff down there at Portishead. It should be close, but I think Douglas, just with the home advantage, just might tip their way.
Very well, and two Isle of Man sides this season in County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, as we mentioned before, both Vagabonds and Ramsey. Ramsey coming back into the system after a five-year hiatus. We'll start with Ramsey because they're the earlier kickoff of the two. Both Ramsey and Vagabonds are away from home on this opening weekend, and Ramsey, 1:30 p.m. kickoff away at Congleton.
Well, as you know, I'm a Ramsey man, so I'm hopelessly biased. I'm not going to hide that. I've got some high hopes tomorrow of that opening fixture. And the reason I say this is a little bit of inside knowledge, given that I arranged the fixture, the kickoff time and the travel, is that Congleton indicated that they've got a stag trip to Prague going on this weekend, and they may be a bit short on numbers. So they were dreading the fact that they thought they had to come to the Isle of Man for the opening game of the season. Ramsey have agreed to play that one away because it's a little bit cheaper with the boats than it would be for Congleton's airfares. 1:30 kickoff. Ramsey, no real changes to the team other than Nathan Brew coming back. Nathan was at Sedbergh, I think, off the top of my head. Then he left. He went to Australia for 12 months for a bit of a gap year. Brewy's back now, and hopefully he'll slot in at scrum half and give a little bit of extra vavoom around about that half back line. Other than that, Ramsey are pretty much unchanged from last season. They were beating league opposition. They thrashed Prenton, who finished runners-up to Congleton in one of the Norriwool leagues. So high hopes for Ramsey.
And for Vagabonds, it was tough for them in Counties 3 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire at times last season. They're coming up against a side that beat them home and away last season in Burnley.
Yeah, they may struggle tomorrow. I haven't seen the Vagabonds team yet, but I'll try and pick that up later on tonight. They don't appear to have a big influx of new players. Burnley, as you say, quite rightly, did beat them home and away. Burnley might be one of the favourites, but Burnley didn't have a very good season last year either. They might have beaten Vagas home and away, but they didn't beat many of the others, and they finished sort of lower mid-table. So it's not as clear cut as you might think. We don't know what's happened to Burnley over the summer, if they've had a player leaving or new players coming in. So I think Vagabonds will be in with a sporting chance. They finished last season really well. A couple of good league wins at the end and a good run in the Manx Cup too. I think Vagabonds are certainly capable of winning away, but it is an away game and they're always tough.
And let's not forget, on Saturday the 29th of November, the Manx derby between Ramsey and Vagabonds at Murrow Park in the league. Just very quickly, Dave, actually, just outside of the teams that are playing this weekend, just a reminder as well, we didn't mention before that Vagabonds at Burnley, that's a 3 p.m. kickoff, and Ramsey away at Congleton is a 1:30 p.m. kickoff. In terms of the local scene, of course, there were some changes and developments toward the end of last season. We've got to consider the likes of Southern Nomads and Western Vikings within the season as well. Any developments yet on what the local scene will look like, or is it too early to say?
Yeah, I've got a fixture list that I need to get loaded into the RFU computer system. That's a job for Sunday, maybe. It's clearly with only Southern Nomads and Western Vikings, it's going to be difficult for everybody. I'd like to have said that Ramsey would maybe leave a second team behind. I'm not seeing any signs of that potentially just yet. But the squad for a league match is limited to 18. And if Ramsey can have another 15 players on top of that that are ready to play, then there's no reason why they can't make some sort of contribution. That's just from my own club. Can't speak for the others.
I suppose that leads me on to just my final question. Quickly, got about 60 seconds here. When you are the likes of Southern Nomads and Western Vikings, who indeed may have some participation in the likes of the Cheshire competitions like they have done in previous years, how are they going to find, I suppose, planning over the next few months around what they want to do as well?
Yeah, it's obviously very difficult when you've got limited opposition. We know that after the first two weekends, so that's the 6th of September and the 13th, Ramsey have got two free weekends. There's an opportunity there to play some sort of friendly fixture. Ramsey and Southern Nomads are both in the Cheshire Plate. They've been drawn against each other, which is very convenient for the organisers, but I'm not a suspicious man by nature. So there's another game for Southern Nomads, and potentially if they progress through that, there's maybe more come towards the end of the season.
Dave, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, finally tonight, nearly 9 months since her last competitive fight, Isle of Man pro boxer Jade Burden returns to the ring this weekend. Hoping to keep up her unbeaten pro record so far, the Grenade is due to face pro debutante Sydney Chambers at Winter Gardens in Blackpool tomorrow. Well, due to cancellations and postponements so far this year, Burden hasn't boxed competitively since a unanimous points win over Kerry Orton in Birmingham in December last year. So, with a long-awaited return now tantalisingly close, Burden told me this week how it feels to finally be getting back into action.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a hard slog this year, as you could probably imagine. I was originally penciled into boxing April, and then the week leading up to it, it fell through. So, yeah, big disappointment there. I won't lie, it does affect your confidence a little bit, as it is a ticket-selling game, but it just is what it is. It's out of my control. And then I was supposed to box Kirsty Hill, and then whoever is the top of the bill on that card had to have surgery, so that's kind of postponed. So I am chasing that. I still want that fight. But yeah, then I've got Sydney Chambers, I think her name is, this weekend, so I'm ready to go.
But yeah, just coming back to it, and you've just sort of alluded to it there, the kind of, I suppose, that the games that plays with you mentally when you're having these cancellations, you've done all that preparation and all the stuff behind the scenes that people don't see, like you say, selling tickets and things like that. This whole experience of the year so far with the frustrations, what has it taught you about what you need to do just to keep your head in the right space and keep yourself ticking over for when that opportunity comes?
Yeah, I think, do you know what, I've had so much like bad luck that it's only kind of taught me a little bit more about myself and how much resilience that I do have, because everything's out of my control. Everything that I can control, I have controlled. But yeah, look, it is, I'm not going to lie, it has been an emotional ride. You know, I've kind of been prepping myself to get in a place to get in the ring, and I was hoping by now that I'd be a little bit more further on down the line, but it is what it is. And what people have to remember is when I sell tickets, it's not just down the motorway for people that live here. And I am really reliant on people to buy tickets. If I don't sell tickets, I don't get to box. So, you know, there's quite a lot of expenses that go into these things. So, yeah, it has been hard, but I'm ready to put on a good performance this weekend.
Turning then to this weekend, what do you know about your opponent?
I don't know anything. Do you know what? That's the exciting part about it is I actually don't know anything. It's her debut, so she's probably going to have a go, and that's what I want. Like, I want her to have a go. I want to be tested. I've got my first six rounder. You know, my camp's gone really well. I feel sharp. I feel fit. I feel ready. So, yeah, I'm hoping she throws the kitchen sink at me this weekend.
If it is a bit of an unknown, does that maybe just give you a chance to just focus on your own game rather than thinking too much about how they're going to approach it.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's no point in thinking about what they're going to bring or what they're going to do, because at the end of the day, it's all about you and what you've been putting into place. I don't look at any of my opponents. I solely, you know, believe whatever my coach tells me, I just do, and that it'll pay off on the night. So yeah, maybe the first round I'll kind of get a little bit of a feel for it, and then I'll go back to the corner and my coach will say, right, do this, add this. And yeah, hopefully it'll be a good night on Saturday.
Should you be successful this weekend, what's the plan from there? What would you hope this can kind of, what doors do you think this can open for you?
Yeah, well, like I said, prior to obviously an opponent change, I was penciled in to fight Kirsty Hill. So she is the current super featherweight Commonwealth champion. So that's who I want next, and I'd happily do a 10 rounder against her. I watched her as soon as I got offered the fight. I had no doubt of my ability that I could beat Kirsty, so that's what I want next, and I've made it quite open and honest about that, so that's what I'm chasing next.
That is Alabama professional boxer Jay Burden ahead of her third professional fight taking place this weekend. She takes on pro debutant Sydney Chambers at Winter Gardens in Blackpool tomorrow. That's just about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests this week, Tony Meppen, Paul Jones, Dave Christian and Jade Burden. And if you want to catch up with anything you might have missed on Friday Sport Preview this evening, this programme will be available as a podcast a little later on this evening. And if you want to catch up on any of the latest sports news from across the Isle of Man throughout this week and beyond, head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub over at www.manxradio.com. And also don't forget, we have the Manx Radio Sportscast as well, with extended interviews with a whole host of different guests and different stories over on the Manx Radio podcast section. All that remains for you to say is have yourself a wonderful Friday evening and a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.